It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA 1.
Hi, I'm Larry London, and welcome to Border Crossings. Friday's here, and with Friday and the start of the weekend, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we have a special guest in our studios. Kaiza is here today from Canada. She's going to join us and talk about her brand new album, her latest tour, and her plans for the future. All of that and more coming up. Stay with us for Kaiza here on Border Crossings.
Taking me higher than I've ever been before. I'm holding it back, just want to shout out, give me more. You're just a hideaway, you're just a feeling. You let my heart escape beyond the meaning. Don't even I can find a way to stop the storm. Oh baby, it's out of my control, what's going on? But you're just a chance I take to keep on dreaming. You're just another day that keeps me breathing. Baby, I love the way that there's nothing short. Baby, so stop me, hide away with me some more.
Crossings. We have a special guest in our studios on tour right now for Sound of a Woman, a brand new album that she's got out. It's her debut album. And she's won all kinds of Juno Awards and selling out shows all across the world. We'd like to welcome Kaiza to downtown D.C. and the Voice of America. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Am I pronouncing the name correctly? Because I've heard several pronunciations.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the most correct version, which nobody says, is Kaiza.
Kaiza.
Which is a Norwegian name, but everyone calls me Kaiza. I always was sort of a one-named person because it was hard enough for people to say my first name, so I didn't want to bother them with the Norwegian last name. So,
and
yeah.
You have, as you mentioned, Norwegian heritage and also a bit of Scottish blood, too.
Well, Scottish. My grandpa's Scottish and Trinidadian. My grandmother is Trinidadian.
Wow.
And the Trinidadian is the biggest mix ever. So mm-hmm. I think I came out to be 10 different races at least mixed together, mainly from my grandma. But yeah, my I'd say this like the most pure races are Scottish and Norwegian.
Mm-hmm. And you.
Cool lineages too, because I'm related to John Douglas.
Right.
Or James, sorry, James Douglas, who was like the first believer in William Wallace, who
was
Braveheart.
Right. That's amazing. And you yourself were in the military, I guess, or in Canada.
The Navy.
The family's connected, and you're connected yourself?
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's we're not like a military family, but somehow we have a lot of military history. Just maybe it's that war sort of, the Vikings and the mm-hmm. Scots, maybe it's just that desire for like a thrill or something, because my grandpa ended up flying in the war. He was a pilot, mm-hmm. and at the age of 16, a commander, and he was way cooler than I am. And then my dad was in the army, and then, of course, I signed up. But it was all random. Like, it wasn't, my dad didn't tell me to sign up.
Right.
So.
There's so many layers to you. You're a very interesting person. You have a lot of different parts
Thank
of you.
You
that, yeah. You started off in jazz. You're a ballerina. You did folk music for a while. Now
yeah.
we're in pop dance. Are you comfortable? Where are you most comfortable, I should ask?
I'm always sort of stretching my own boundaries. I don't like to be in a comfort zone. You know how mm-hmm. most people have to get out of their comfort zone? I have trouble staying in one place. So mm-hmm. I always need to change and I always need to evolve. And it's just sort of a constant thing. Even my fashion and everything. Like last year was Reeboks, now I'm wearing Doc Martens like crazy and like But musically, I mean, it helps me for music because it, I mean, just having this desire to try new things is what allowed me to find my voice and to figure out what sound my voice sits best on, and that the sound that I identify with as an artist, mm-hmm. As opposed to being a songwriter where I can sort of write across the map. Mm-hmm. But
And you've written songs for other folks, like Rihanna. You wrote.
Well, she's recorded a song of mine. I mean, uh-huh. Rihanna's as an artist. I mean, she records like over 100 songs. So,
wow.
I mean, as to like, she has recorded a song of mine, but as mm-hmm. to whether it's on the album or not, that's not. I have no
not
idea.
Not decided yet.
But yeah, Jennifer Lopez just did one. Jennifer Hudson.
Fantastic.
I have a lot of sort of writing offers now. It's just a matter of having time mm-hmm. and working my writing career into my artist career. Mm-hmm. But I realize you have to do things in phases.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me about a year and a half to figure this out because I was trying to do everything at the same time.
Right.
You can, but you sort of have to focus. When you're touring, you focus on the touring. You focus on keeping your body healthy so you can do a great show every night. And then mm-hmm. if you have time, once in a while you work in writing. Whereas when you're writing all the time. You're not touring. You're not doing mm-hmm. shows. You're sort of expanding your mind, you're kind of going out into the world and taking in life, and mm-hmm. your mind is in a completely different zone, and mm-hmm. it allows you to sort of just tap in to yourself, to other people, and just kind of regurgitate abstract thought, I guess. I don't know. And it's a totally different mindset, and I it took me a while to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
So now that the tour is coming to end, I'm going to sort of try to get my head back in that writing space because I am starting the next album.
And what's that going to be about?
I don't know.
I mean, I
haven't really started it. Things kind of flow through me. I don't. Mm-hmm. I didn't like say I'm going to write an album called "Sound of a Woman." That's
right.
Going to be about all the painful love history that I have. It just happened, and I think for me, I was regurgitating suppressed emotion because I don't mm-hmm. feel like my next album is going to be anywhere near the type of emotion that Sound of a Woman was. It was mm-hmm. just, that was inside of me. It was something that I guess I was suppressing and it came out.
Mm.
So I think now that that's sort of a weight off my shoulders, mm-hmm. I've noticed that my lyrics are a little more, I'm sort of looking out into the world. I think they're going to have a little bit more of, I don't know, definitely a different angle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely writing slightly different now that Sound of a Woman is mm-hmm. done. And the sound's definitely going to evolve.
There's so much more to you than just being a dance artist. Everybody knows you're from Hideaway, but, you know, and there's more to Kaiser than just that. I mean,
yeah,
there's so much more.
There's a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
I have trouble keeping track of myself sometimes because I want to do so many different things.
Mm-hmm. And you do so many different things. You have an eyeliner. You have your own fashion line.
yeah, actually, my first fashion designs are coming out pretty soon. I decided, since I've never done fashion before, I'd start out by mm-hmm. designing for another fashion company, and I designed the next season or worked as the creative director
mm-hmm.
in the designs for Bad Bunch NYC, which is like It's actually a men's line, and mm-hmm. it's sports clothing, like basketball jerseys, hockey jerseys and mm-hmm. stuff, but they print art and cool designs on their clothing. So I created all the art prints. Like mm-hmm. I put together these sort of surrealist images that I created that we then designed the clothing, and I added a woman's section onto the line for the first time and then helped design everything.
And what about acting? Is that something, you are beautiful.
Yeah, I'm already gearing up for that.
Well, you're gorgeous, and I know that you were once in the Miss Universe for Canada. You did
it was like the Miss Canada, but mm-hmm. they call it Miss Universe Canada.
Sure.
That totally comes from my grandma, because she was mm-hmm. Miss Trinidad, Miss Army, Miss Navy, and Miss Air Force, I think at the same time.
A lot of sashes.
Yeah, she was like like pageant princess when she was growing up, and my grandma didn't, like, my childhood, she was living in Toronto and I was in Calgary. Mm-hmm. So she was sort of across the country. But she, when I was a teenager, she moved to be in the same city as us. Mm-hmm. And so her way of bonding with me was teaching me to walk in heels, which I never wore. I was, like, mm-hmm. running with my brothers in the dirt, like, throwing footballs. Mm-hmm. And then so I signed up for Miss Calgary, you know, just mm-hmm. to bond with my grandma. And then I ended up coming second place, and then something happened with the first place winner, and I can't remember, it was something dramatic, so I ended up having to go mm-hmm. to the Miss Canada, Miss Universe Canada, mm-hmm. which was so outside of my comfort zone, it was way outside, because I just usually don't throw on dresses and mm-hmm. walk in heels, but wow. I guess thank God I did, because now I actually know how to wear heels.
Well, you are beautiful. I mean, color TV with blue eyes, and you're absolutely gorgeous, and I know you've changed the hair a little. Is this because it's a day off, or because you normally have the, you told me before, we had you on the show, you wanted to have a mohawk without cutting off your hair.
Yeah, I mean, it is a day off, so
yeah.
I was taking it easy. But
chilling.
The hair, you know, it's been really slick and really tight mm-hmm. in 2014, mm-hmm. and my hair I realize it does not like to be slick. Like, finding those little frizzes in my hair is like, it's impossible. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to start letting it out a little bit and just mm-hmm. let my hair be a little freer. Mm. So it's been, you know, I've had like the half down. Sometimes I do like, it looks like the same slick one side, mm-hmm. but it's...
I think you can wear anything. You still look gorgeous. So.
Yeah, it's the hair is evolving as much as everything else. So.
Don't stop, I feel so alive. Baby, you blow my mind. What's up, and that's so nice.
We've been talking with Kaiza, and this is Border Crossings. My name's Larry London, and you love to dance. I saw you,
I
as I mentioned when I last talked to you, I saw you on the Ellen Show, and you just cut loose. You were running the crowd, you were dancing, you were bouncing around, you were doing. And I understand when you made the video for Hideaway, you were suffering from a broken rib.
Yeah, that I didn't know I had yet, thank God.
You didn't know you had it.
I mean, it was hurting, but I didn't know it was broken. I was like, oh, I must have just banged it or bruised it. But sometimes you get an injury and it doesn't actually swell up till like 2 days later. You know, you go to the gym, you work out, and then sometimes the day later you're like, oh, I feel great. But the day after that, you're like, you can't move.
Right, right.
It was like that with my rib. Like, I could feel it. There was something wrong. It definitely wasn't right. I kept continued rehearsing it. The guy kept lifting me up. And I think that's actually how, I think it was the lift that went wrong probably a couple times that injured it. But 2 days after... So it wasn't the day after the shoot, it was the day after. It swelled up so much that I literally could barely breathe. And I was stuck in a bed for a month.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was, like, bad. It was really bad. And then I found out I had a hairline fracture and a condition called costochondritis, which means I have, like, inflammation attacks. They're starting to go away, but I still...
But you were able to finish the video.
Yeah, I mean...
So, I mean, you're a real trooper. Went through the pain.
When I'm like in the mode, sort of in like when I'm doing something, I don't feel. I swear, it's like my grandpa was like this too. Like we just don't feel pain or anything. Like,
well, that's great.
It's just
that you can
when
tune
I have
that
something
out.
On my mind, I can literally zone out everything, which is good
excellent.
And it's bad because sometimes you get injured.
Right, it can be serious.
Yeah, I mean, I've done shows where I was like, I'm gonna knee slide and do all this crazy stuff that I've never done before, and then I get off and 2 days later my knee's swollen, I have like 45 bruises, and like I'm supposed to walk down a red carpet, and they literally one time, oh, the Juno Awards, they had to like literally paint my knees.
Really?
Because they were so bruised from performing, because I was just like going hardcore. I was feeling I was being a rock star that week. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, so... Yeah, and they just took one look at my knees, and they're like, you can't wear this dress.
Well, congratulations on the Juno Awards. I mean,
that's
being from Canada and winning in Canada such a prestigious honor, and you won a number of them, so congratulations.
Thank you, yeah, three. Yeah, you're right, being from Canada, those are like our Grammy Awards.
Right, right.
And that's what I grew up knowing about. So, yeah, it was really shocking. I mean, I always never expect to win, because... You know, you should, I don't know, I just, if it happens, that's amazing, but
sure.
I don't want to, like, raise my expectations, so I was like, oh, that, like, I was just happy to be nominated.
You didn't write a speech?
I didn't write a speech.
You didn't have a speech ready?
I
wow,
it never
that's,
works.
That's humble.
It never works when I read a speech. It just looks like I'm a robot reading a speech. Like, so I totally, actually, the first Juno I won, it was off TV. Actually, the first two. They were in, like, a ceremony that happened before. Thank God, because my first speech was so bad. I just froze, and I ended up thanking my hamster and my penguin and my dog. Like, I was just like...
All the little people.
Yeah, and then I forgot to even thank my producer, of course. And so the second speech, I was like, oh, thank God I got another speech, because I forgot all these people. But then, thankfully, I had two warm-up speeches, and by the third one, which is televised, I had it. Yeah, it was a little better.
So what about, I mean, the songwriting, the singing, the performing, you do it all, you do it so well.
Thank you.
Is there one place that you kind of feel most at home? You have a favorite part of all of that?
I guess the thing that I know I could do forever is the songwriting. Cause I feel like even when I'm 95, as long as I still got a voice, I can
sure
still write a song. But I tend to... sort of when I'm doing one thing, I crave the other. So when I start performing, I start to feel like I need to write, and when I start writing, I feel like I need to perform the songs that I'm writing. So they kind of all feed one another, and as I, you know, see my view back my performances, I'm always critiquing my own dance, like, oh, this needs to get better, I need to expand my outfits this way. So it's sort of just a constant sort of ebb and flow of one into the next. So
And as a performer, you put a lot of energy into your show. And some days you probably aren't feeling it, but you still have to go and deliver. How do you pull that out? How do you dig that out?
It's, you know how you, like, for if you make a magnet or you wrap the wire around, you coil it up, and the more you coil it, the stronger it gets. Okay, so it's like that. On days where you're sick or you just have no energy, you hold your energy in and you just build it up. And I do as little as possible. I speak as little as possible and I consume all this energy. And then I just let it explode. Mm-hmm. Like I save it all for the show and then I just crash. Like you should see the difference, like the final pose that I do on stage. Mm-hmm. And then 2 minutes later when I get off stage, it's just, you just
That's
crash.
It.
And you're going straight to bed, and mm-hmm. you can barely move. And, of course, I love to go out, and, like, I literally, after shows, I'll go looking for my fans, hopefully, because I know people will actually wait hours. And mm-hmm. some of the cities, it's been really cold, mm-hmm. so I don't want my fans waiting out there, freezing in the cold on my behalf. So usually I'll go out looking, but on those days, I couldn't even do that. Like,
have you ever written a song about your fans or inspired by your fans? Has that inspiration ever come from that?
Yeah, actually, I mean, not one that's out, but I write about everything. Mm-hmm, sort of, mm-hmm. I write every day of life, and that's just a little thing I like to do, whether it's 10 seconds or mm-hmm. 5 minutes or 3 hours. I try to always put an idea out. So, yeah, I guess I've written with just the idea in mind of having this sort of all these people around the world that are supporting my music. I've mm-hmm. I definitely have little song and ideas that I've written about, but yeah, it's... I write about my experience in my life mm-hmm. for my music. When I'm writing for other people, I try to channel them. So it's a totally different mind frame.
It is, interesting to be able to write for someone else.
Yeah, you have to be. I mean, some people are just great, completely like hypothetical. They just make up a story and write mm-hmm. about it. But I love to channel a person because I feel like if I can connect with a person, not only am I giving them a song that they can sing well and they like to sing, but I'm giving them a song that they can connect with on a personal level and it will mean something to them. Mm-hmm. So I sort of strive and aim for that when I work with somebody.
Mm-hmm. Who is on your list of people you'd like to collaborate with, you'd like to write for?
I would like to collaborate with Alice Cooper.
Really?
Yeah.
You like that?
I'm just a huge
the old
fan.
Classic rock?
Just because I think, I'm a huge fan mm-hmm. and I went to see his show, and as a performer, he's just out of this world. He's amazing, and he still is. I mean, mm-hmm. the guy's still going.
Yeah, 70, and he's still got the blood and snakes and all that.
I'm like, if I can be doing what he does at that age, I'll be pretty impressed with myself. So, I mean, you know, there's just certain people that I just think would be fun to collaborate with. I mean, more current artists who are, you know, in sort of my age category. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Bruno Mars. I think that would be mm-hmm. really fun. I don't know. I like to kind of leave it up to spontaneity. The Jack U song that I did with mm-hmm. Diplo and Skrillex, mm-hmm. I never would have actually put that together in my head. Like, I wouldn't have thought, I'm going to get in a room with Diplo and Skrillex and put it together and, you know, we'll create a song. It just happened. We just met at a festival and ended mm-hmm. up in Skrillex's studio hotel room that he, you know, converted mm-hmm. into a studio. And on a USB microphone plugged into a computer, we created that song just because we all happened to be there. So, mm-hmm. and those are the best moments when you just can't expect it. You can't predict it. Mm-hmm. And it's just people you would have never thought that you'd be working with at the same time. But because you're not like overthinking it and it just happens, your inspiration flows a little bit mm-hmm. better. Sometimes if you're going to work with, like, if you know you're going to work with somebody, then you start, you know, start listening to all their music and trying to think like them. And it actually makes it worse for you because you, you know, you think you know what they want, but then you get in the room and they want something completely different. So sometimes it's better to not know anything and to just let it flow, you know, let the juices flow.
Stand by while you choose to cross the line. I don't know why I try. Should have left it all behind. Can't go on, can't rewind. Something holds me deep inside. What's the point, love aside? I have no more tears to cry. Baby, I don't need you, especially now. You never let my voice through and wonder while I cry. Maybe that's a sound of a woman. Maybe that's a sound that a heart makes when she's crying out to the one man. Chained
Our guest is Kaiza, who is on tour right now. Is the tour going internationally?
It's been internationally, actually. Mm. We're at the end of the tour.
At the end of the tour.
There will be festivals throughout the summer, more in the United States and Canada.
Do you like playing the 50,000 fan festival as much as the smaller venues? Or what do you prefer?
Well, of course, I mean, the festivals are fun, but the beauty of my own shows are that it's everybody has come...
Just for you.
For my show.
Right.
So it's a different energy. Mm-hmm. Festivals... They're all fun for different reasons, because festivals, you get those giant, massive audiences, and they're going to scream no matter what.
Right.
they're there to scream and have fun. So it's more of you're just kind of throwing out energy. And it's great. What I love about festivals is I gain a lot of new fans, because people will come to see another person, but they'll end up at my show and they'll end up loving it. So, they're good for different reasons, but it's really special to do your own show and to have people coming out and to see these fans who are supporting you and bringing their friend who they've been telling about you for weeks or something. So, but they're both fun. I like them both. I mean, one of my favorite moments, which I've spoken about a bit, was Wembley Stadium. When I got to play packed Wembley Stadium. This was only 3 months or something into Hideaway being... You just even out in the world. And if suddenly I'm in a stadium and it's not my show, you know, it's like Taylor Swift's show or whoever all those other names on the bill were.
Right.
But I got to play. I still got to get popped up in front of 80,000 people and play it. And all I could think was like, this is where Freddie Mercury played.
Wow.
You know, Live Aid. And and you could feel the energy of 80,000 people. And you can't really describe what that's like when it's all focused on you. It's like it's like an adrenaline rush. So I have an adrenaline rush at my shows and at the stadiums and the festival, but there's something, it's a different thing.
Sure.
I don't know. It's not better or worse, it's just different.
Yeah, well,
I like doing it all.
This is, you're obviously riding high on the wave right now. This is still very early for you. Only one album, but you sound like you've been doing this for 20 years.
Well, I've been writing for... Not 20 years, but...
you started writing when?
I believe my first song was written when I was 17.
Do you go back and revisit the songs you wrote when you were a teenager and say...
Yeah, I still remember
that's great,
the first
or
song.
What was I thinking? Or...
I actually, you know what? For a first song, I was actually pretty impressed now that I think back. I mean, it wasn't like a radio hit or anything. But I think I had a natural... instinct for melody and for song structure without really understanding it that kind of just sort of fast-tracked me into the writing world a little bit, because a lot of people will start writing when they're 11, 12, 13, and I was literally like this thrill-seeking teenager climbing mountains and sailing boats and rolling in the mud and doing ballet. Like, I didn't even, like, the idea of being a singer didn't even pop into my head until I was 17, and it kind of hit me by like surprise when I wrote my first song. It just came out of nowhere, and it was the first time I ever picked up a guitar and attempted to learn it. So literally I learned the guitar, started learning guitar, and started learning to songwrite at the exact same moment.
Wow.
And the first song I wrote ended up I ended up walking down to a neighbor's house and being like, check it out, I just wrote a song. And they had a radio announcer over there, and the radio announcer liked it and let me play it on the radio. And very quickly, I realized, wait, I think I have a natural instinct. Like, there's something about songwriting that I've, like, it's natural. I work really hard at other things. Like, sailing, I worked really hard to be a good sailor. Ballet, I worked really hard to be a good ballerina. But songwriting just sort of came out of nowhere. And so applying that sort of the work ethic I had to sort of a natural, a more kind of instinctive ability, I think was why it kind of became like a purpose for me. And I felt like what I loved about writing music was that it was coming from me and it was personal, but once it's out in the world, it's not for me anymore, it's for everybody. And I felt like I had something to give to other people, and I had something that could kind of give something positive to other people as well. And and that sort of gave me a sense of purpose as well, and I became obsessed, as I do. I always become hyper obsessed with the things I'm doing.
Well, you do them well.
Everything
you've done well, and making a huge splash, I mean, for yourself, for I mean, three Junos and multi-platinum success with the debut album, it kind of sets the bar really, really high for the next album. You're probably going to feel pressure, if you haven't already, going into the next album. Not thinking about it. Just enjoying the tour while it lasts. And then what's in plan for your next year ahead? What are you going to do? Other than take some time and write some songs. Going out on tour again?
I have some. I mean, they're not long-term, but I'm just sort of dabbling in the film world with writing. I have some concepts that I'm writing for both, like, sort of musical-related films and also just maybe even writing for film scores and stuff. But that would be as well as my album, as well as continuing the performing. For me, it's just perfecting the craft now. I literally learned to perform on the stage. Like, I didn't even have really time to... It happened so quickly that there wasn't enough time to actually properly rehearse for a show. I just had to kind of put in 2 days in the studio and then go and just figure it out on stage. And it's, you know, it's tough. It's really intimidating when you have to do it that way, because you have to kind of make mistakes in front of the world and in front of your audience. But at the same time, it forced me to take risks that I probably wouldn't have otherwise, because I would have just sort of been doing what I had planned. And I realized that people like that. People actually like to see you kind of fighting for something. And sometimes in my show, I'm just, the first shows, I was just, I didn't know the choreography, so, because we'd learned it the day before, so I was fighting to remember, but also fighting to give them a great show, I had to be spontaneous. And so now, I mean, that taught me that I like to do choreography, but I also like to be spontaneous at the same time. And so now I approach it that way. I allow myself to jump out of the choreography. And it, I try to make every show different. Even the songs, the way I sing, I never sing the song the exact same way twice, or at least I try not to. I'll change a few notes here and there, and just so, you know, make it different. And I have a lot of fans. Some of my fans came to four shows, and like they flew to different shows in different cities, so I think for those people, I want to give them a different show too.
Well, you have loyal fans, obviously, and follow you around.
Yeah, I couldn't. That's, I mean, this is also new to me, but I was like shocked when I saw, like, I was like, but these people have already seen this show,
right?
Like, and they've just come back to four. I was like, it was so crazy to me, but also just really, I mean, I just appreciate it so much to see like support on that level. So I guess my goal is just to keep bringing the same intensity sort of to my fans, or the same passion in my music. Like, it's not, for me, it's about the love of the art. And I don't want to lose that, because I think why Hideaway worked and why this whole project sort of worked was because when I decided to do it, I just decided to do it with no rules. And I had no fan base or anything, so I thought this was just a passion project that no one would hear. And I think because I had that approach, and because I wasn't trying to be something, I wasn't trying to work, I wasn't trying to fit in, I was just doing music that I loved and sort of tapping into my own emotions and being honest, being very sincere, I think people connected with it because it was genuine and it was sincere. So I want to approach my second album the same way. I don't want to have rules. I don't want to think, oh, well, I need to have a radio hit, therefore I'm going to write with that in mind. Like, I'm just going to write whatever flows through me, you know, for better or for worse. And I hope, just hope that people connect with it still and just try to become a stronger performer. I'm started breakdancing on stage. Like, I just started doing the work. And I don't breakdance, but I thought, you know what? Every time I learn a new breakdance move, I'll just add it to my show, and one day I'll be able to breakdance one move at a time on stage.
Well, you are a very refreshing, you know, very beautiful, energetic, entertaining, down to earth, which, you know, all the success and the fame hasn't spoiled you yet. So, you know, what a pleasure it is to have you in our studios and have you on the Voice of America. The last time I saw you was a very quick, you were walking by, I had two
red
questions
carpet.
And that was it. But to be able to sit down and learn more about
Kaiser
is wonderful. And, you know, I mean, what's been the highlight so far? As we wrap up and you're going to take a break and prepare for the next step, the next chapter, what's been the highlight so far?
It's hard to break it down into highlights because there's so many highlights. I sort of start compartmentalizing things into like the year. Like 2014 was just a highlight in and of itself, because it was just, everything was new. It was my first really, I mean, I did an album once in the past, but it wasn't really, it wasn't created. It was just all the songs I'd written thrown together, you know?
Right.
This was a body of work that I created to create an album. Mm-hmm. So this was, for me, this was my first album. It was my first number one. It was my first song, actually on heavy rotation on the radio.
Right.
It was my first stadium, my first headline show, my first radio interviews, my first TV appearances, my first talk shows. Like, everything was a first, and it was just, my eyes were just popping the whole time. And it was, you know, and the challenge of that year, which is not very far long ago, was just adjusting to the stamina and learning just how to adapt to all these changes. Whereas mm-hmm. once I started to get used to it and it started to become more natural, now it's about, okay, it's still very new, mm-hmm. but I'm getting the hang of things now. So how can I perfect this craft now? Now that I sort of know what I'm doing a little bit, which you never know what you're doing. But I guess the highlights have always been sort of the first, I guess. And so it's always aiming to do something new. Because mm-hmm. I guess, I don't know, I don't like to repeat myself. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, 2015 was, I mean, I've been touring a lot, but this was legitimately my first full headline tour of Europe, Australia. I came back for the Junos, then did the UK, and now did the mm-hmm. United States. So that for me was the highlight of this year, is having had 2014 to sort of figure out who I am as a performer, mm-hmm. what I want to do, and then be able to sort of, I had to throw together the show. I didn't have a lot of time, but to be able to put together my own show mm-hmm. with my own lighting and my own crew and go on tour and mm-hmm. just see with my own eyes the people that are supporting me as a musician. And that just means, I mean, it's been incredible. It's just, there's something really special about your own tour.
Mm-hmm.
And you really connect with your fans. Like, mm-hmm. people, they write you letters and they tell you stories about how your music impacted their lives. And it really puts things into perspective as a musician to how powerful music can be and how much of an impact you have on the lives of other people. And for me, I think about that a lot, because if I don't take my own music seriously, or if I'm not doing it for the right reasons, then I'm still affecting other people. So I always think about the people that I'm going to be influencing and affecting, and I always try to sort of set a good example and to understand their stories mm-hmm. and, you know, just really appreciate them. So
a lot of people forget the fact that it is a responsibility to be in the position you're in, because you do influence so many young people.
Yeah.
They're all looking up to you. They want to be the next Kaiza. They may want to be a musician. They want to be just like you, your fans. So.
Yeah, and you know what? They can do it. I always tell them, because, I mean, it took me forever. It worked really hard for it, but you can have all the talent in the world, but at the end of the day, you can also learn how to do things. And if you really want to do something, you just have to work really hard at it. And you have to love to work hard at it, because if you love it, it won't feel like work. You won't even know you're working, really. So I always tell them, like, If you feel like you're working, then it's not, then you haven't found the right thing. But if you love it, you're going to want to work. It doesn't get easier, but it does get funner.
Well, that's good. And you are a great role model. And you know, the young people who like music, and, you know, not so young people, it's nice to have people like yourself to be able to look up to, because there's a lot of, you know, people who aren't exactly the best role models, but you are.
Thank you very much, Kaiza, for joining us on Border Crossings. Our worldwide fans love your music, and I'm going to head to my hideaway when the show's done. Thank you, Kaiza. I'm Larry London, and it's time to get back to the dedications and the requests. I've got a song request from Sergio Augusto Ramos de Santos, all the way from Brazil, who says, dedicate a song to my family and friends, Joey, Chris Long, and the kids in Auckland, Joshua Sykes, and Austin Young in Provo. Here's the song Sedona by the band Houndmouth on Border Crossings.
The red sandstone, it fell. Thank you.
Got the Bangles, Walk Like an Egyptian, bringing us back to the 80s. Seems like music these days now, back to the 80s. Jason Derulo's new album inspired by the 80s, and I'm listening to a lot of different songs that are out right now that sound like the 80s, but nothing sounds like the 80s better than the 80s. Walk Like an Egyptian, a request from Ivan in Croatia. My name is Larry London. You've got VOA One's Border Crossings, and I invite you to my Facebook page, facebook.com/VOA Larry London. Please log on, send us a message, a request, and don't forget you can check out some of the posts that I put up there as well. And it's going to be a place where you're going to want to go for information on how you can win the Now 55 CD we'll be giving away in August. All of that and more at facebook.com/VOA Larry London. All right, Tony in Nigeria phoned in to hear Toby Keith, and we don't want to keep Tony waiting any longer. Should have been a cowboy, Tony. Here's Toby Keith on Border Crossings.
I bet you never heard old Marshall Dillon say, Miss Kitty, have you ever thought of running away? Settling down, would you marry me? If I ask you twice and beg you pretty please, he'd have said yes in a New York.
should have been a cowboy. I should have learned to rope and ride. Wearing my six shooter, riding my pony on a cattle drive. Stealing a young girl's heart, just like Gene and Roy, singing those campfire songs. Oh, I should have been a cowboy. Sidekick with a funny name, running wild through the hills, chasing Jesse James, ending up on the brink of danger, riding shotgun for the Texas Rangers. Go West, young man, haven't you been told? California's full of whiskey, women and ghosts, sleeping out all night beneath the desert stars, with a dream in my eye and a prayer in my heart. I should have been a cowboy. I should have learned to rope and ride. Wearing my six shooter, riding my pony on a cattle drive. Stealing a young girl's heart, just like Gene and Roy, singing those campfire songs. Oh, I should have been a cowboy. Should have been a cowboy. I should have learned to rope and ride. I'd be wearing my six shooter, riding my pony on a cattle drive. Stealing a young girl's heart, just like Gene and Roy, singing those campfire songs. Oh, I should have been a cowboy. Yeah, I should have been a cowboy. Should have been a cowboy.
Kobe Keith on Border Crossing, Should Have Been a Cowboy. I'm Larry London. Thank you very much for listening to the program, and I hope you heard your requests, and I hope you enjoyed Kaiza on the first half of the show. I'll be back again on Monday's program starting at 1500 Universal. We'll be back with requests and dedications. The weekend is here. Go out and enjoy yourself and make some new memories and be safe in the process. I'll catch you again on Monday, Border Crossings. Thank you very much. Felicia Butler, by the way, our producer-director today. This is the VOA 1 Music Network.
Join Larry on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Larry London.